The first question is, can you tell me about your background and how you came to work with anti-TB drugs?
Okay. So I have, I'm pretty old, so I have a long history, and then mostly, I have been working on, still I'm working on the anti-cancer drugs, and so, like the discovery and the development. And then, but my major anti-cancer drug research has been Taxol-related ones. I don't know if you have heard about
I've
Taxol.
heard, yep.
It's a very big drug, and then so target is actually cell division of the prokaryotic cells. So then eukaryotic cells, sorry. Then so we have been doing quite a kind of the mechanism action type research also. Then we became interested in that if this type of compound can inhibit the cell division of bacteria as well. And then at that time, it was already maybe 15 years ago, I was collaborating with a microbiologist in Tokyo and in the International Medical Center of Japan. And then, so he, my collaborator, suggested that, okay, maybe we should try some taxanes. The taxol is like the taxol type compound against the microbacterial tuberculosis, and then, so then we tried it, and actually some of them showed indeed some activity against that. However, as I mentioned, that this type of taxol, the taxanes, are also attacking the microtubules in the eukaryotic cells, so that means it will be toxic to the host cells. So then, so we did a quite a nice work in the medicinal chemistry work to shift that selectivity from eukaryotic cells to the bacterial ones and prokaryotic cells. So we succeeded in. So then, so that one was one kind of introduction to tuberculosis world. Then, so of course that we were looking at very basic function of this target. So target is cell division protein, and then so that one is forming the so-called Z-ring in at the center of the tubular cells of the bacteria, and then it's kind of the contracting and then cutting off into the two daughter cells. So yeah, we are kind of fascinated by that mechanism. And then, so this function is so well conserved in all bacteria. And then, so originally we thought that if we, the focus on this new target, then we can develop some broad spectrum antibiotics, antibacterials. But then, mostly, our interest was in MTB, because then, there are so many programs that in MDR-TB and also XDR-TB, not totally, drug-resistant TB thing. So then, like 10 years ago, the MDR-TB became really a problem in the U.S. too, so related to HIV. Then we started looking at some other compounds. Then we found that some the benzimidazoles that is used to as an anti-worm drug for the some animals, and then also to some of them are humans. So those compounds are, of course, it is a microtubule inhibitor, but also in the Italian inhibit the FLT-Z, that this is a central, the filamenting temperature sensitive protein Z. And then we did this drug discovery efforts to optimize those benzimidazoles. And then we found kind of new entities that can be patented for, for the, like, kind of uniquely substituted, like a tri-substituted benzimidazoles. And then they started, the serious research. Then We are now in a position that we are kind of seeing that the potential clinical candidates now. And so about 2 years ago, we started an interesting academia industry collaborations with Sanofi.
Okay.
So the one we started, it was Sanofi Aventis, but now it's called Sanofi. So it's you know one of the rare, very big pharma in the world that still has this you know the antibacterial, antimicrobial program.
Right.
So many like U.S. you know based companies are really almost they don't have it, and then maybe AstraZeneca and like you know maybe SmithKline may have some, and then Sanofi is one of the really big ones. So maybe J&J has some, and then so. Then we started this very interesting academia industry collaborations, like respecting you know both our needs. So then so the Sanofi side provided all kinds of very established you know preclinical toxicology study you know the panels of you know all kinds of you know toxicities checking, and then like also the stability in the plasma or you know the micro the like pico-50 type you know the metabolism you know, the metabolic stability thing. So then we started optimization of the compound. So now we reached the very promising the couple of compounds which can almost knock out all you know the living bacteria in a like a so-called acute model mouse.
That's exciting.
So then this mouse model is you know it's actually done in the Colorado State University. So because they have the largest NIH contracted you know organization for those kind of in vivo animal you know, testing. So then also the result was confirmed that by Sanofi. And so those compounds are already active.
Nice.
And you know, it's a totally new mechanism of action. So because this, you know, target has never been used. So naturally that, you know, the against all different like drug-resistant strains of the TB, so those compounds do not feel any resistance because, you know, those are for the current drugs, right? So they thought the resistance is against the current drugs, but it's just, you know, target is so different. So actually there's no drug resistance so far. And then also, of course, that we have to check, you know, the like a potential probability of drug resistance, you know, occurrence.
Right.
So you can
question.
Check genetically that, you know, the how much, you know, the like mutations may happen thing. So far, we don't really, you know, we haven't detected any, you know, mutations. And so it's, you know, because it's a very key, you know, function. Cell division is really a key function of, you know, maintenance of the cells. So it seems that, you know, target seems to be a very good one, which does not necessarily want to, you know, mutate much. So that's the kind of situation. So, yeah, of course, we, you know, filed patents, and then already like, this one taxane one is a U.S. patent, and also benzimidazole one became the patent, and also in other, like, several other countries that... so we have patents, and then afterwards that we have probably 5 or 6 patent applications, PCT applications. So it will go into a certain like a national phase, maybe in a couple of years. So in a worldwide that we are trying to you know, cover those things, and then. The including of course like India and China, so there are so much populations there, and so far that's been, of course Africa has you know the huge problem too, but so maybe we have a South African patent or something, but so yeah, India and China is you know one of the big thing in Asia, and of course Russia has you know huge problem, so yeah, okay, so something like that, so.
Cool. Thank you. You answered a lot of my questions along the way. I guess one question that is a little bit unclear to me still is whether or not your benzimidol compounds are specific to MTB, or are they, the ones you've developed, are they more broad-range antibiotic
compounds? Okay, yeah. So as I said, originally we thought that, so this is, you know, just a well-conserved mechanism. So,
right.
The like, same compound may, you know, work against other pathogens. But then, very interestingly, it seems there are, you know, some subtle difference in the, you know, this binding site, it seems, so okay. In a different bacteria. And then, unfortunately, we have not gotten the X-ray structure, you know, the, of the, this, like, inhibitor-bound protein. But computationally, so we did, you know, some work, and then based on the crystal structure of the FTZ, then, so it's really not really binding to the catalytic site. So it's in allosteric site. So there's a, you know, the separately, you know, from the, there's a GTP binding site, that is a catalytic site. But, so it doesn't bind to that, you know, it's not competition with the GTP. Uh-huh. Actually, interestingly, our compound accelerates this GTP ACE activity of those FITZG. So GTP is hydrolyzed to GDP, and then start making some curvature to make this Z-ring. And naturally, we thought it's an allosteric site, and so we identified two potential allosteric sites, one for benzimidazole, one for taxane. And then the answer to your question, benzimidazole structure will work against, you know, the different pathogens, but not necessarily the same compound is a superstar to act, you know, to work on all bacteria. So we have to optimize the, you know, the certain, you know, like structure modifications in the basic structure.
Right.
Then, for example, gram-negative bacteria is, you know, very tough, right? So NIAID, you know, mentioned that, or maybe CDC mentioned that, okay, we don't have a, you know, drug to deal with this gram-negative bacteria now. And but I think our compound may have a shot, you know, as a class of compound. So we tried the F. tularensis, so that is a gram-negative bacteria, then so that's a kind of categorized as a class A pathogens for the, the DOD, before the biodefense program. So then our compound, it's a different compound than MTB1. So that is active against, the tularensis. So the answer to your question is that yes, that not the same compound, but a similar compound will work in the very broad spectrum of bacteria. But each bacteria, we may have different structure.
And in terms of efficacy, how do your compounds compare to the drugs that are classically used to treat TB now, like rifampin or paracetamol? Yeah.
Okay. So INH is the, you know, maybe the very fast, reacting, drug. And so we are very close to INH for the, you know, like a normal, standard, the strength. So then, of course, then our compound, as I mentioned, you know, do not feel a drug resistance. So INH drug resistant one, the rifampicin, all other ones, those drug resistant ones, our compound is, you know, the maintaining the same activity across the board.
Okay.
So, then lead compound right now, advanced lead compound, reduces the colony forming unit reduction of more than 6.5 logs. So then, as I mentioned, they almost clean up all living bacteria in lung and also in the spleen. So that, we are looking at two organs, right? So lung is of course the major one, but the spleen is another place the TB resides. And so in the spleen, it's really 100% really gone. So you can clean up all living bacteria. So in the lung, within the era that we don't see the living bacteria. So. Yeah, 6.5 logs is huge.
Yeah, that's big.
Okay. So we are quite excited about that potency.
Yeah. I also find it strange that you haven't been able to find or see resistance at all. I know it's a conserved protein and a conserved function, but is that something that you are looking out for or are very cognizant of, or you by now are pretty sure that resistance is maybe too hard to come by?
So it looks that way, but of course, when the result is negative, then you are not so confident, right? So yeah, we definitely continue to try to see any drug resistance occurring, but at least in a very conventional method to determine this resistance frequency thing,
right.
Then we really don't see any. So it's really very, very, very low.
Yeah,
nice. So that is encouraging.
Are there any challenges or potential issues you see with these with the benzimidol compounds?
Once again?
So are there any challenges or potential issues that you see with these compounds?
I see, okay. So those are, it's a pretty good behaving compound, but it has some, potential, warning sign for the sudden toxicity. So we are kind of getting around that, the thing. So, yeah, right now it's kind of secret. So
no worries.
What kind of toxicity it is, but there are certain toxicities. Another a very general thing that the checking is, interaction with the P450 type, the cytochrome C type ones, and then also all kind of kinases. So there are lots of kinases.
Right.
So that interference is very, very small. So it's a pretty clean, nice. Compound. Yeah. So it's quite promising, but there are some minor toxicity issues. It's not a cytotoxicity, but so we are kind of addressing it now.
Okay, so I won't take up too much of your time. I have two more questions, and they're a bit more general.
Okay.
So the first one is, what current TB news or research excites you most at the moment?
TB news?
Yeah, or research or drug development, TB specific or not. What do you think is sort of the cutting edge? What's exciting?
For the TB one, I really don't know what is the the most cutting edge. Okay. So then, because TB drug discovery is very kind of constrained, right? Because you have to have the VSS3 facility to deal with those models, and so not many places can comfortably do those experiments. So that's the one concern I have about that. But if there is any vaccines,
right?
Yeah, then that will be really nice, right? So yeah, prevention is better than treating some patients, right? So I think that maybe there are certain the development in the TB vaccines again. So when I was a kid, then in Japan, we were forced to do all those the BCG. And that's really helped, then prevented us from becoming a really real active TB, right? So we have TB bacteria in our body, but in the tuberculin test so when I moved to US, that of course they I mentioned that we had the BCG, but some nurse didn't know it, so then they did the tuberculin thing and began, oh, now you have big, circle in the red circle. That was total nonsense, but anyway, so. sorry that I don't have a clear, cutting edge thing for the tuberculosis, but hopefully, the small molecules, drugs, or, as I said, if the vaccine can be developed, then that would be really nice.
And the last question is, what major challenges do you think the drug development world is currently faced with?
Yeah, okay, so So like profitability is always a problem for the company, right?
Right.
And then, so those, you know, TB patients are mostly in the underdeveloping country. And then, of course, you know, India and China are kind of growing, but there are, you know, those patients are maybe from a very poor, you know, side of the country.
Right.
So in order, you know, accounts that for like a Western big pharma, it's not a very profitable business. So then, you know, so we need some like a more ethical or, you know, more, you know, kind of philanthropical, you know, the idea to really save, you know, lots of patients in the world. And so I think that is really the challenge. So, of course, like the Gates Foundation has been doing a very good job, and the TB Alliances, and of course, WHO. But, you know, so there should be some mechanism that, like, maybe, you know, like a national project or international project that the government puts some money, you know. Or maybe, you know, okay, like a Bill Gates type of philanthropist that, you know, put some money to the fund and then making some those like a research fund to really fuel, you know, anti-TB drug drug development. So that may be really important. So, yeah, so that's, I think that, you know, this kind of economical or maybe, you know, like an industrial challenge is the profitability thing. So, but, I think, you know, this type of, you know, diseases is really beyond the profitability. I think we have to really deal with that.
Right.
Yeah, as a human being. So.
Right. Man, I guess more pharmaceutical companies have been partnering with academic labs and sort of letting the academic labs do sort of the frontline target discovery sort of research. And then from there, once they see something that could be profitable, sort of in your case with Sanofi, then developing it. But... yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. So you know, I heard that. So yeah, I know one Japanese company that Otsuka, the company, is developing. You know, this summer. Yeah, they are in the clinical trials anyway. So you know, some promising ones are there. But you know, it is like a private company, and then the president is personally committing to develop anti-TB drug.
Wow.
So, yeah, so it's very unique. So, you know, it's okay, regardless of the profit, so he really wants to, you know, solve this problem. So we need that kind of entrepreneurs.
Well, thank you, Dr. Ujima. This is great. It was really good hearing more about those benzimidol compounds. It sounds really exciting.
Okay.